like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Stop the presses. Mitchell Trubisky has signed back up with the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 3-year deal. Yeah. Their second move to secure quarterback depth, the Steelers made it official. They're signing Mitch Trubisky back to a 3-year deal. More Lakers Nuggets news. This is a funny one because it was like a top story here. Despite poor shooting in Game 2, Lakers vow to let it fly. They were missing a lot of open shots. But you let LeBron shoot the 3, right? That's what we said. Let him shoot the 3.
It's like 1 for 20.
It's not
in
that
the fourth
good.
Quarter with 3s.
Yeah.
What he's tiring himself out early in these games, driving at the basket, and he gets to the fourth quarter and he just doesn't have it.
No, he's 38 years old. I mean, that's just... That's who he is now.
That's not to take away his legacy or anything.
No,
it's the truth.
It adds more to his legacy.
There was a point in Kobe's later years where you're like, yeah, he's not the same guy.
Yeah, anymore. And when he went and had that 60-plus point game, it was like, that was a lot.
That his last game?
Yeah. Wasn't it?
I think so. He had a good game his last game.
I'm not taking anything away from that, but yeah, defenses were kind of like, just shoot it. Just shoot it, Kobe. LeBron's one of the greatest of all time. He really is. But he's 38 now. I mean, he's good enough to be playing in the Western Conference Finals at the age of 38. Mad respect for that. But it is what it is. They use him sparingly at times. He picks when he needs to get into a takeover.
He walks around the court a lot.
When the Nuggets are shooting free throws, he's on the other end with his hands on his knees and he's bent over.
He almost rolled his ankle and then just laid on the floor.
I'm
just tying my shoe.
It did look bad. His flop was hilarious into the crowd. They spilled their martini all over him. But the fan did give him a towel. And I thought that was kind of an adorable little exchange there. LeBron looks up. He's like, thank you.
My favorite thing of like the internet memes is every time LeBron does something, the comments are always something.
Yeah.
So that was like La Flop, La Booze, La Lime. Stupid stuff.
Joker's flop after that was hilarious because it's almost like Joker's like, I'm going to show you what LeBron just did.
And I mean, Jokic actually got hit in the stomach.
He did, but Joker's on the floor. I'm like, he is dead. So I was going to tweet it because I was going to be an unfair, more biased reporter / guy, whatever I am. And I was going to be like, LeBron totally flopped. And then on Joker's, I was going to be like, dude, that's uncalled for. We can't have that. Joker's lucky he's alive. There was one flop that was bad, and Joker's was real. But it was like, it was almost like Joker's like, I'm going to show you what LeBron did. Whoa! It was hilarious.
They don't call a foul when he gets punched in the kidney either, so.
Was it a flagrant foul on Jamal Murray, D'Angelo Russell's?
Was.
He hit him in the face.
Yes, you were going for the ball, but the way he swung his arm down and hit Murray's bicep and also hit him in the face.
Well, didn't his other hand come up and hit him in the face?
Right. Like, do you make face contact, it's a flake.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you didn't intend to. If you're going for the ball, that doesn't always mean anything. You can go up and tackle a guy, but you could say you're going for the ball. You know,
the funniest thing is Gundy's like, when as it happened, Gundy goes, oh, and a hard foul. Two seconds later, that's not a flagrant.
His lid on that. And then the head official came in, or the guy that they talked to, what's his face?
The booth guy.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, that was a flagrant foul.
That's just wrong.
That's wrong.
We need to review this.
Why are you having him on? If I'm the NBA, I'm seriously having to talk with Van Gundy. Like, dude, you torched our product.
Can we get his brother?
Is he much better?
No, but he's not much worse.
Here's the thing. I don't hate Van Gundy that much. He's real.
It just sounds bad.
He was bad last night. He was so whiny. They were pissed. Their team's losing.
We need to do Euro basketball rules.
How about this one? I don't know if we want to get into the weeds too much on this one, Angel, but the Dodgers disinvite LGBTQIA plus group from Pride Night. The Dodgers have invited a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Sounds like a Game of Thrones thing, man.
I don't like the way that sounds.
They invited them to disinvited them to the team's annual Pride Night after opposition from conservative Catholic groups. The charity protest and performance group was to receive to have received the team's Community Hero Award in a ceremony during the 10th annual event before the June 16th game against the Giants. Here's what they said. The Dodgers said in a statement, "Given the strong feelings of people who have been offended by the sisters' inclusion in our evening, and in an effort not to distract from the great benefits that we have seen over the years of Pride Night, we are deciding to remove them from this year's group of honorees." That's what the Dodgers said. What are they? Okay, here we go. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence first appeared in San Francisco in 1979 in the Castro district in the form of three men wearing nun outfits. It was a whimsical protest over local and LGBTQIA plus issues. But over the decades, it's grown into a number of loosely organized chapters around the world that engage in charitable and protest work. Their mission statement is devoted to community service, ministry, and outreach to those on the edges, and to promoting human rights, respect for diversity, and spiritual enlightenment.
The Google definition, they are the leading edge order of queer and trans nuns, an anti-Catholic organization that uses drag and religious imagery to call attention to sexual intolerance that satirizes issues of gender and morality.
It would seem like that would be a group you don't want necessarily to be at a family public event.
No, it's a religious hate group.
Yeah, they're dressing up nuns, making a mockery of a religion that is observed in the United States of America.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Bye-bye. They added another word. I thought it was just LGBTQ. But IA and plus...
Brady, that's so 2017.
It's long now. They're going to have every letter of the alphabet in there.
Might as well just say the alphabet.
Just the ABCs.
ABCD.
It's plus they put at the end. So you could have just did that from the beginning.
They're a streaming service.
What do they all stand for? I know this is probably not a positive discussion, but I'm just curious. Curiosity's killing my cat.
See, I don't even know what to Google to get the definition.
What are the so L stands for lesbian. Is that correct?
Okay, here we go. LGBTQIAS2+.
Okay. I just want to know. I'm just curious. I'm not like arguing. I just want to know.
This is we're informing people.
Yeah.
Lesbian,
okay.
Gay,
okay.
Bisexual,
okay.
Transgender,
okay.
Queer and or questioning,
okay.
Intersex, asexual, and two-spirit.
And what?
Two-spirit.
What does that mean? I'm asking. I don't know. It's probably good to know this.
A person with both a feminine and a masculine spirit living in the same body.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Those are certainly words put together.
Those are words. Eastside Chris, I'm sure... we're talking about the Spurs. Okay, good. Probably safe.
Let's change subject.
Let's get back into our safe space here. I'm sure Spurs had to go through this stigma during their good run. Do you think that they went through the same thing that the Nuggets went through? Because the Spurs weren't adored because they were like, oh, it's boring basketball.
I've been seeing the comparisons, you know, the Jokic, Duncan kind of thing, even the Malone Popovich comparison. I've seen, you know, Murray and Parker or KCP is kind of like a Manu Ginobili type of player or something like that. I can see that comparison.
Well, and Duncan, I loved Tim Duncan.
He's awesome. He's fundamental.
But he was, that's the thing. He was fundamentally good at basketball. That's what Joker is. Duncan was not doing crazy sky tomahawk dunks or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He was just like that little shot off the backboard.
He was dominant, though.
So good. And he was so quiet about it. Loved Tim Duncan.
I really enjoyed that Spurs team from like 2012 to 15. That was fun.
I loved watching the Spurs because they distributed the ball so well.
Yeah, with
Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, who probably
early Kawhi Leonard.
Early Kawhi Leonard.
Danny Green, remember him?
Yeah, Danny Green. Who else did they have?
They had one guy coming off the bench.
Did they have Robert Horry for a minute?
I think so.
Because that was part of his playoff legacy. Patty Mills, Australian, right?
Yes. They were like the international league,
isn't he? Patty Mills is still in the league, isn't he? Yeah, the Spurs were...
Hey, he's with Brooklyn.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just watched him not long ago. And I was like, wait, how old is he? Tony Parker was very fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Was a really good point
guard.
He
had an attitude, too.
He did. And he became kind of a superstar. He started dating, what's her name? One of the Desperate Housewives.
Oh, I don't know.
Or was it Sex and the City? No, it was Desperate Housewives. It was a girl from Desperate Housewives. Can't think of her name.
Desperate City Housewives.
Yes. Is it Sex in the City or And the City?
I think it's in.
Sex in the City.
I have no idea.
Never really watched that. Never watched Desperate Housewives.
You know, it's not really up my lane.
No.
Much, you know?
We started watching Mario the other night.
Oh.
We didn't get through it because we're old, but we stopped at 10. It was enjoyable.
It's good.
Yeah, we're going to try to finish that up tonight.
Nice.
That's how we watch. You start watching movies in sections now. You know, you do. You're like, we started at 9 because we were watching The Office, as we do almost every night.
That's a good follow-up to this.
And I was like...
Mario.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Mario's on Amazon. You want to try? And it was 9. And my wife's like, it's late. I'm like, it's a cartoon. It's probably only like an hour and a half. So we started it, and then 10 o'clock came. And I was like, let's be done. But it's good. Yeah, I enjoyed it so far. So far, so good.
Did you get to Peaches or no?
She just introduced Peaches. She's taken... Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. She's training.
I'm talking about the song.
She's kind of somewhat training Mario. No, I didn't get to the song yet.
Oh, okay. You're saving that part.
I'm saving that part.
Like, Brittany, you got to see this.
I wish I haven't seen the song because I would be so like shocked and everything because it's so good. It does take you back, though. You know, you think about all those Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
What, I'm just going to tell you one thing. It's not really a sport. Can I just tell you one thing?
Sure.
Mario doesn't like mushrooms.
I saw that.
And obviously, that's a big part of Mario, is you got to take mushrooms to get bigger or whatever.
Wait, we're putting this to kids?
Oh, it was so funny.
To eat mushrooms and you'll grow really strong?
It was hilarious. But that was good. Chris Pratt, the guy from It's Always Sunny and...
Charlie Day.
One of the Key and Peele guys, I think it's Key.
Yeah.
Is the mushroom.
Toad.
I don't know who is Peaches. Obviously, Jack Black is Bowser.
Anna Taylor-Joy, I think, is her.
Okay. They kind of make her look like her, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved Mario, man. Those games were amazing. I also have to get out a report. You didn't do your homework. I didn't do my homework. We didn't watch Caddyshack.
No.
That was supposed to be the movie we were reviewing. Sorry, but...
Things got in the way.
We're in the Western Conference Finals, so Jerry's going to do it next week. He said he's in. So we'll get Jerry Schimmel in.
It's better we do it, because if the Nuggets had lost, it would not have been a good review.
Oh, no, we would have been depressed. Stupid Caddyshack, I hate it, and everything's dumb.
Stupid golf.
Movies don't make sense, nothing has, food has no taste, life has no meaning.
Sky is falling.
But, yeah, so we kind of just were like, and I thought about it last night, I was like, I've seen it, but I like to watch it again, because I haven't seen it in a long time. So we'll see if that's going to make it into our starting lineup. Dixon, okay, you are just like, dude, the Nuggets won, bro. And you are just choosing a guy to go after. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Aaron Gordon wasn't what I thought he was going to be last night. But I'm not, like, writing him off. Texter, I was at the bar the other night, and Aaron Gordon walked in. I started talking to him and tried to buy him a shot. And he said no, because he didn't know what that was. Does he get a drum thingy?
No.
Okay. Well, it's creative.
Because like, if that was just a joke from anybody else, it's a joke. But you have an obvious hate for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, we won last night.
He won.
It's all
he had
positive.
A couple nice dunks.
Yeah, he did. I mean,
he is an extreme role player.
He is the dunker.
He is the defensive guy. That's what his main priority in this series is defense.
Do you think Malone told him not to shoot threes because he looked so unsure of himself? He was wide open at the three. Like,
I mean, if you're
times.
Wide open, take the shot.
He didn't take. He took.
I'm not going to tell you if you are wide open and you have no one in front of you for like 10 feet, take the shot.
Yeah, he
because
missed
if
some
you
bad
hit
ones,
it,
though.
Then they say, "Oh crap, he made a shot."
Yeah, if Aaron Gordon's hitting threes, then you're losing. You're going to lose the game. Whoever they're playing, they're going to lose the game. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on the Nuggets last night. Who is the best coach in Nuggets history? It just got me thinking, and we were talking about it today. Credit to Tanner. He brought it up. But Is it Doug Moe or is it Michael Malone? It's not George Karl. And that pains me because I'm a fanboy of George Karl's. I met George.
I would say Moe for the time being, but Malone is right there.
Yeah, because
if Malone wins this series, he takes it.
Moe was in the playoffs his whole career with the Nuggets. Like, he was always there. And they went to that was one of their Western Conference Finals appearances was under Doug Moe. And he won a ton in the regular season. They got his banner hung up there. Should they hang up a George Karl banner? Now, I get it. The rules are weird. You have to have a certain, like, we're retiring you, kind of. Mm-hmm. His number of wins is up there on the banner.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. How many did Doug Moe win with the Nuggets? Was it 432? Is that what it is? That's the number that's up there.
Okay. George Karl's at 423.
Yeah, because Doug owns the record. What's Malone at again?
367.
Well, Malone should break that then, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's 40 total games behind George Karl in terms of games played.
So he'll break
or
the
coach,
wins. He'll break all those wins. Does that include playoffs and regular season, you think?
I think so.
It's a lot of wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard because he did win a Coach of the Year award, Doug Moe did, in 87-88. Malone's never won that. And
Malone's
he may
actually
not.
Negative in the playoffs.
Which actually surprised me because when they were in the playoffs, okay, let's just run through it. The first year was against the Spurs, and they went 7.
Yep.
And they won. Then the next series was against Portland. Did that go 7 and they lost?
That was 7 and a loss.
And then the next year was bubble, wasn't it?
Yep.
So he was like, they were winning series.
He played 14 games in the first two rounds. And then
yeah, because they all went 7, right?
5 in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Yep.
And then
6. Did they lose?
I think they only won 1 against
the Lakers. They only won 1? Okay.
2021, obviously no Murray, no MPJ.
But you got past
the Spurs, and you beat the Spurs in 6.
And then you beat Portland. Or who was it?
It was Portland in the first round.
Who did they beat in the second round?
They lost to Phoenix.
Oh, that's right. That was the second round. They lost to Phoenix 4-0.
Blazers in 6, and then Suns in 4.
And then last year they lost 4-1, right, to Golden State. He was, but again, you were without all your dogs. He's making up. What's his record in the playoffs?
21-27.
So, okay.
I mean, you're right there.
Yeah.
This run will obviously change that.
We'll go sweep LA and boom, a couple games away.
It's a crazy thought.
Yeah, but it is.
If this team goes and wins game 3, honestly, what do the Lakers do? If Rui was the big fix, yeah, he had a great offensive game.
Yeah.
You limited Jokic a little bit in terms, he still had a triple-double.
Yeah, but still good. He still impacted the game. It was just a different way.
He needs one more to pass the all-time record for most triple-doubles in a playoff run.
And like in an actual, start of the first series to the,
and I
wow.
believe that is, it could be Magic, but it could also be Will. It is a Laker of some kind.
Wow.
But we're starting to pass up the not since Wilt to first time ever.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I almost find it offensive when people are like, he's the best center to ever do it. And I'm like, that's a slight. He's one of the best to ever do it.
He's officially third all time in playoff triple doubles, and it's very likely he could finish first.
What did the Lakers do to adjust then? Because the Hachimura thing, he's a good player, dude. I'd love to see him in a Nuggets uniform. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't slow down Joker enough because Joker didn't have 30-plus points, but he had every other stat.
Yeah, and that's the way you try to attack this Nuggets team. Obviously, you try to close up the paint. You try to limit the passing lanes. And the Nuggets, if that happens, they're going to kick the ball out, and it's just a matter if those guys are hitting their shots like they were.
Yeah,
first half, they weren't really doing it.
Yeah, because KCP was playing with foul trouble all the first half.
Yeah, he had like a foul in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, and then quickly after that, he was done. Didn't play hardly at all in the first quarter.
But I kind of liked it because you got to see a lot of Bruce Brown. And he... That
dude, can
loves
we get him
here.
Signed? When does that work? Because we got to make that happen.
In a 3-year contract right now.
How do they? Oh, he, yeah.
Like, I would give it to him.
Yes, absolutely. I'm signing him. How do we get that done? Are we going to be in jeopardy of going over the the tax and all that stuff, the salary cap?
Make it work.
Can somebody take a pay decrease? You know, I don't know. Make it work, because Bruce Brown is such an important piece. Austin Reeves was shooting lights out for a moment. There was a stretch there.
You almost just don't guard him because he's probably going to make those shots.
He's just a good player, too.
He's very solid. Could Christian Brown be a player like that?
I don't know.
If he develops the right way.
I don't know. I like Christian Brown a lot, but I got to see some more offense from him. He's a rookie. I get
that.
But
I don't think that's his focus.
It's not his focus. They don't want him shooting a whole lot, but
I think Malone wants to build a foundation of defense with Christian.
Yeah, he's a heck of a defensive player. I don't know, maybe. We'll see who they start. Who started? They went small in game one because Schroeder was the starter, and they went with Vanderbilt. Do they do that again? Because it kind of worked, but again, KCP's out. You're not hitting shots.
I mean, if you have faith in Russell, throw him out there again because he's like -41 right now.
I love that Russell's pointing at Bruce Brown. He made one shot, and he points at Bruce Brown, and I'm like. Just because, I mean,
if your opponent is talking trash to your bench and he's down by like 5-6 points, be scared.
He had 10 points, you know,
but it felt like 50.
It did kind of at times because they were timely.
Well, you needed someone to show some attitude, and it was Bruce Brown that first little layup, and he's looking right at the Lakers bench, talking at him, yapping at him. They get a steal, and he runs back down the floor and hits another three. And he's just talking smack.
Oh, I love it. I love him more now than I love the cowboy thing. You know, he shows up to the game dressed as a cowboy.
He's
a Boston cowboy. He's a good dude. When I was at media day at the beginning of the season, you know, Bruce was like, "I love it here because it's not like Brooklyn's a circus as far as the media goes." He's like, "Not to be mean to you guys, but you're not Brooklyn. There's not 500 of you out there, and it's more casual." I mean, so casual, Joker got up in the middle of it and just started eating grapes. He just got up, walked over to the buffet they had there. He said, "I'm hungry." And then Jamal's sitting there, and he's like, "Throw me a grape." So Joker's it's a great
I think
team
that's,
effort.
That's what makes this run so special for us as fans. You know, we talk about the media attention, how like we're kind of brushing it off like we don't want it because we have been giving this team all the praise and all the attention we've wanted the last 5-6 years. And now we're finally seeing it come to fruition, and it's so satisfying and justified in that we knew this could work. We just needed the pieces in the right places at the right time. And even with the local media down in Denver, you kind of feel we're all in this together.
Yeah, kind of. And I think the Nuggets even kind of appreciate that. Like, it's not one of those, nobody believed in us. They know that the state of Colorado believes in them.
They're not... People keep saying, well, they're the number one seed. They're favored in the series. They're favored in the games. Yeah, there's a difference between odds and narratives.
McLean says, the Lakers don't deserve Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves would be a nice player, but he'd be a bench player.
But he's
the
guy that LeBron can, you know, kind of bully a little bit. He's the pup on that team.
Dixon's going after Gordon again. I heard Aaron Gordon might miss the next game because of polio. Apparently he never got the shot.
Get that anti-vax narrative out of here.
29 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
.12:34 the time. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. That's an interesting little tidbit on the NFL side of things, Angel. You were telling me about that they're voting on whether or not they can flex Thursday night games. That is going to be a circus. That's ridiculous. When would they do this? They'd have to announce it several weeks before. So I don't know. That's a terrible look, I think.
This is just coming from Ian Rappaport, who is on the Pat McAfee show. Quote, they're voting on the NFL being able to flex Thursday night football for this upcoming season at the league meeting.
Wow. That's interesting.
I don't understand how that works.
I don't either. You'd have to let them know weeks in advance because you can't tell them Sunday.
Yeah, in terms of travel in terms of, oh, you thought you were getting a 5-day week? No, you're actually getting 3 days.
Yeah, that's...
And you got to travel to California.
Mm-mm. No, that doesn't work. That does not compute. That's a interesting
Unfortunately,
thing.
Unfortunately, this is Amazon's fault.
Because that's what they're trying
because
to do.
Because of how bad Thursday Night Football was last year,
whew,
they're going to do everything in their power to make sure people subscribe to Amazon for it or keep subscribing.
They were bad games. They were terrible.
Even Al Michaels said, oh, the slate looks a lot better this year. it's going to be more fun games.
Can you be better, Al? Because you're amazing, but you weren't very good last year. You seemed really bored. He
Is
seemed bored.
You can be honest. Is it Kirk?
Yeah, it's Kirk. Kirked.
Kirk.
Kirkita. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Who is the best coach in Nuggets history? Will it be Michael Malone in about 2 weeks, or is it Michael Malone? 12:35 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Peyton Manning was at the game last night. Was Russ there again? Russ was at the other game. He was at game one. You should just get all the quarterbacks there. You know, you mentioned it. Like, John Elway next? All the quarterbacks of Christmas past?
Are we going to be there for game five?
Yeah. Well, are we going to need a game five?
That's true. Game one.
They're not sweeping, right? You're not predicting that?
I won't predict it, but if they win game three, I'm going to have a hard time not saying that on Monday.
I think they win game three. And I think they lose game four and then win game five.
With the way the series has played out, I think if you can go into LA and have a hot start and get that crowd out of it early,
yeah,
you can just go.
I'll be curious to see how they respond, you know, being on the road. They're just so good at home, man. They're undefeated in these playoffs at home.
It's crazy. It's a true home court advantage that no other team has.
No other team has experienced it.
You can have a loud crowd. You can have, you know, the whistle on your side, whichever. You cannot deal with physics and science and geography.
I love that they own the altitude thing. You got the signs that say, warning.
Warning. Altitude sickness. You may be fatigued, headaches, hydration.
I love they put the 5280 thing on the free throw line. Yeah, I love that because when
you
bounce the ball, you're like, holy crap,
I am. Look at the Lakers in the fourth quarter. Their body language. Yeah, the Nuggets are tired, but they're used to it.
Yeah.
The Lakers, when LeBron has to go sit on the bench for just a second and just
catch his breath. Yeah.
They're tired.
And I don't think this is like one of those, oh, it's because they play there. That's not an excuse. That's just a lot of teams have their stuff that makes them, you know, their home. Helps them win games.
Yeah,
it's
Miami,
an advantage.
It's humid as hell in Miami. In Boston, their court is visually distracting.
Yeah. They
Lakers,
do things.
It's the legacy of playing in
formerly
Staples Arena.
You got superstar. You got your favorite actors growing up sitting there watching you.
Yeah,
that's nerve-wracking.
There's Jack Nicholson. There's Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, so they all play their parts. They all have their things. I mean, we could argue, yeah, guys are... You go to L.A. and it's a different experience because there are people you see on TV and movies all the time are there. That could be distracting. Sure. I feel Denver's the better team. They are. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, just watching the Lakers all year, they're still trying to figure themselves out. And they've managed to get past a Golden State team that even Steve Kerr and Draymond Green admit shouldn't have been there.
Well, who is their third guy? Is it Reeves?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
I'd say it's either Reeves
or Rui.
Yeah,
it's got to be Reeves. That's their third guy. Lonnie Walker had 2 points in that game.
Wow.
And he came on in that Golden State series, but he was not exceptional last night. Schroeder? He played 30 minutes last night, didn't do anything. The guards can't play. Our guards are better. Bruce Brown is better than all of them. Jamal Murray is certainly better than all of them.
So do the Lakers run out a big, big lineup with LeBron, Davis, Vanderbilt, and Rui?
Nah, too big.
It's too big.
But do you start Rui over Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt, he had that one game when he played for Minnesota.
I mean, we talked about if you start Rui, you're going to have to bench him and put Vanderbilt
out
there.
That's why they didn't do it. Because of what you said yesterday, that's why they didn't do it.
Because of what I said?
Yeah, they actually
they were listening.
Darvin Ham was tuning in.
Did you see the picture of him and Jokic laughing it up pregame?
No.
They were like in the hallways, and Jokic just like has his arm around his shoulder, and Darvin, they're laughing at a joke.
Do they have a history?
I mean, didn't he play for the Nuggets?
Darvin Ham?
Didn't he?
I don't know. I should know this, shouldn't I?
I heard that somewhere.
I mean, but he wouldn't have played while Joker was there. Played 8 seasons in the NBA. I never knew him to play in the for the Nuggets.
Yeah, he started with Denver.
He's played with them in 96, huh?
96, yeah. Just for a year, but he played 35 games with them.
Averaged 2 points a game. Even for a bad team, I didn't know who he was.
There you go.
Now I want to know about that roster. Who was on that roster back then when Darvin Ham was a Nugget? So he was in that building at one point. Oh, that was... You know who else played?
Alfonso Ellis?
Yeah, was that Mark... Did Mark Jackson play that year with them? Mark Jackson used to play for the Nuggets, too. As hard as he is on...
Seeing Corey Alexander, Tony Batty.
Tony Batty. Why can't I think of that?
Anthony Goldwire. That's a cool name.
For the Nuggets, Goldwire.
Priest Lauderdale.
I remember that name.
Joe Wolf.
Why am I blanking on that guy?
George Zidek? Zidek?
I don't remember him. Oh, I don't remember him. How about...
Kawane Lamores Garris?
Bryant Stith. Remember him. I'm trying to think of the guys from that. I think Mark Jackson was on that roster that year. They had Antonio McDice was on that team. I'm just trying to think off of the top of my head.
Danny Fortson.
I liked Danny Fortson. Again, when I say I liked these guys, they were on a bad team.
Dean Garrett.
I don't recall that name.
Bobby Jackson?
That name sticks out.
Johnny Newman?
Mm-mm.
Eric Washington?
Yes. Yep.
I said Corey Alexander.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your 1997.
Kenny Smith was on there.
They went 11-71.
Mm-hmm. That's why we don't remember any of those names. That's what I'm talking about. I Facebooked this last night, my sensitive tweet, or Facebook. Some guy wrote on there, I was there in the 80s and they were so good. I'm like, I'm not talking about when they were good. I'm saying when the 90s, when they sucked.
That's bad.
And he's like quizzing me on Facebook suddenly. And I'm like, no.
They were 29th of 29 in expected win-loss.
Yeah, it was not a good time.
Their championship preseason odds were plus 20,000.
Coach was Bernie Bickerstaff. That was our coach at that point.
It says Bill Hanzik.
Was that him, Bill Hanzik?
97.
So he was the following year. Okay, so it was Bernie Bickerstaff and then Bill Hanzik.
Executives were Alan Bristow, Mike D'Antoni, and Dan Issel.
Dan Issel. He coached them too. Nuggets have had a lot of coaches, man. Which leads us to our poll question today, our tight-knit brewing poll question. Who's the greatest coach of all time for the Denver Nuggets? Is it Doug Moe? Is it George Karl? Or is it Michael Malone? So Bruce Dick threw Larry Brown in there. Coach Dick, and Coach knows his stuff.
Coach knows coaches.
He knows coaches, but I mean, I can't give it to Larry Brown. He coached them for, you know, a couple of seasons.
When they were just getting started as an NBA team.
Yeah, and they went to a conference finals, but that was also, they only had 2 rounds. That in that time. They didn't add the third round until 84, I believe, the 84-85 season. But, hell, Dan Issel was with Doug Moe and Alex English. They had a hell of a team back in the, again, I didn't watch them personally. You knew of them. And growing up, my dad had pictures of all those guys up on, you know, his office and stuff, newspaper clippings and all of that. So I would always just see those guys. And you just knew about them. 47 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick. Let's get a break. I'll read some texts on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Don't look now, but the Rockies start their series against the Texas Rangers tonight in Texas, bringing in Carl Kaufman to pitch. Is that any relation to Andy Kaufman, perhaps?
Not sure, but Carl Kaufman with two Ks.
Two Ks, yeah.
He is a right-handed pitcher out of Michigan.
All right, here we go. Michigan, turning out some good ball players there.
He's only 25.
25?
Fairly young guy.
They don't have a picture of him on ESPN.
His minor league stats for this year, 2 wins, 3 losses.
Boom.
ERA at 7.78.
Oh.
And 26 strikeouts in 37 innings.
His ERA is what?
7.78.
Ooh. He's going to get done tonight against Martin Perez, you think?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not the Rockies?
Why not the Rockies? They're 19-25.
They win, you're on the bus, right?
I don't even know what that means, but
from what
sure.
I've heard.
Yeah, that's what Tanner's saying. What? I guess you could just put
you're driving the Nuggets train and you have a foot in the Rockies bus.
Yay! I'm waving it as we drive by.
It's like Fast and Furious.
Hey, hopefully the Rockies just kind of hang out right here until the Nuggets are done, and then make a big run in July and give us something so we don't have to focus on training camp too much for the Broncos.
I mean, the Rockies, you could be within 10 games of the wild card at the break. I'd take it.
They're not a playoff team, are they? Even Jerry.
I didn't even say that.
I didn't say it. Jerry even said they're not going to
mention the P word.
Jerry was on with you guys today, and he's like, yeah, they're probably not going to be good for like 80 years. What do you say, 2027? 2025?
That's optimistic.
That's Jerry saying that. He's like, yeah, you know, I read between the lines with Jerry. He's like, you know, enjoy what you're seeing, but, you know.
It's a smokescreen.
Maybe.
You don't want to get too excited right now.
And you said Herman Marquez is on the 60-day?
60-day IL.
Uh-oh.
Should be right around August or so when he comes back.
Just in time.
A couple of games in before October hits.
Just in time to make that run. That wild run that's obviously coming.
Almost as wild as 2007.
Why aren't the Nuggets accepted like the Rockies were that run? You weren't here then.
No.
But it was wild. They changed a name, for crying out loud, as Rocktober. The Avs, I feel like there was mania last year. Is basketball in this state the fourth cared about sport when it comes to the pros?
I mean, it's possible, but it's also understandable with the history of the Nuggets as we've gone through today. They have not been extremely successful in terms of an NBA franchise. And it's taken a two-time MVP to really put them on the map, and they're still getting disrespected.
Stickman says, no picture on ESPN. Does ESPN know anyone from a sports team?
Not yeah. Outside of Los Angeles.
No, first it was Joker. Now it's Andy Kaufman or Carl Kaufman. Yeah,
Denver
that's the last
is a
straw.
Place, folks. They play sports there.
We should get mad about this like we get mad about Joker. You don't have Andy Kaufman's picture up there? Brady, it's Carl. Crap, that's what I said. It's Carl Kaufman.
And his brother.
The disrespect from ESPN is ridiculous. We don't have his picture up there. I mean, what more can I say? First Joker, now Kaufman? What's next? Player to be named tomorrow? That I don't know? Who's pitching? Oh, Freeland's pitching tomorrow. I know him. But then Noah Sanzalot is going to be... You're not going to have his picture up there? Noah Sampson? You forgot it.
Forgot his name.
You forgot!
What's his name? Davis.
There it is.
You throw me off with the S names. It's Noah Davis.
The disrespect from ESPN. You don't have our pictures on your site. How dare you? This is Carl freaking Kaufman. Guy, 7.7 ERA, bro. I mean, just, you know, you put some respect to his name.
McClain, imagine how national media would treat Jokic if he played for the Lakers. We would probably hate him. You think so? Do you think Joker would get the LeBron treatment and all that stuff?
He would be the next Wilt. But he already is the next Wilt.
Yeah,
he's better than...
Let's analyze that coming up. What would be the story surrounding Nikola Jokic if he played for the Los Angeles Lakers? 12:57 the time. Final hour of the program of the week coming up next.